Will you pray with me? Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My first job after college was in Washington, D.C. And one of the fun parts of working there is seeing important people come to town. A huge crew goes out when a president or a queen or a prime minister is coming. Big crews who get everything ready. Their job is to prepare the way. So they scrub the streets and they plant flowers. They move homeless people off the streets. They hang flags. They rope off the walkways. They get on very big horses to manage crowds. There are a lot of serious-looking people with well-pressed uniforms and excellent posture who stand guard with guns and handcuffs on their belts. They know every inch of the route. They know every detail. Every minute is planned. That's not how it works with Jesus. First, there were 12 just kind of ordinary guys he sent out. And now the text tells us that there are 70 or 72, depending upon which ancient manuscript you rely upon. And their job is to prepare the way. They are being sent out to do what Jesus does, to bring peace and justice and healing and hospitality. 70 is a symbolic number. It's meaning a whole lot, like everybody. So it's safe to say that this would include us as well among those who are called to go out and prepare the way. But instead of big horses and spiffy uniforms, our instructions are carry no purse, no backpack, no sandals, no wallet, no phone. Go like a lamb among wolves, because there are a lot of people who won't like the message that you are bringing. Go together, that will help. No map, though. Just go wherever you are invited. Eat and drink whatever's put on the table. Don't be surprised by rejection. Get over yourself. Personally, I like to be better prepared than that. When Peter and I went to China years ago to teach English, we stuffed 2 huge suitcases full of everything we could imagine that we might need, including, of all things, a Chinese cookbook. Somehow it never occurred to me that China would be full of people who would cook for us or who would be able to teach us how to cook. That really is probably the last thing I would need. So I never opened it. But even now, even on a short trip, I can reliably pack 1 or 2 books I will never look at, 1 or 2 pairs of shoes I will never wear. I'd like to be prepared. Carry no purse, Jesus says. Be vulnerable. What's more vulnerable than that? We cannot know exactly where this path will go once we start along it. There will be rough spaces and steep places and difficulty. But if you choose to follow Jesus to peace and to justice and to every good thing the human heart yearns for, this is the way. This is what Jesus followers do. It's how we do it. Apparently, there is something good about vulnerability. In Frederick Buechner's words, we find by losing. We hold fast by letting go. We become something new by ceasing to be something old. I do not need to be afraid of not knowing where the path will lead. God knows. That is all that matters. And the writer of one of the books on Paul and Stacy's sabbatical reading list, The Artist's Rule, Nurturing Your Creative Soul with Monastic Wisdom, calls it a process of transformation. That's what vulnerability is. Try not to set a particular goal for yourself other than showing up to what is offered and being open to the experience, whatever it may be. Ask the Lord for what you need, Jesus says. Pray, pass the peace. Satan will fall. That is apocalyptic language, for evil will not prevail in the end. That's it. It would seem that vulnerability, humility is a big part of that, are the things that equip, enable, make room for the love of God. When our arms aren't loaded down with baggage, then maybe they could hold someone, reach out and take care of somebody, take a hand, and anyone can let go. So that means that all of us are qualified to prepare the way. Carry no purse. I learned about a church that is trying to go this way at a conference for American Baptists that I attended a couple of weeks ago. For them, letting go means not evaluating church by numbers, by counting attendance and the budget, the way we always do. They let go of the idea that the ultimate purpose of a church, the ultimate measure of success, was to fill the pews on Sunday morning to overflowing. They let go of that when they finally realized that it was never, ever going to happen in their neighborhood. There was nobody living around them who was going to come inside the four walls of a church on Sunday morning to worship God. So that freed them to take a new path, to try something different, a place they never would have gone otherwise. They decided that they would take the church into the neighborhood, to Joe's Tacos specifically. The tacos were good. The pastor ate there all the time, and he got to know the manager pretty well. So one day he asked the manager if it would be okay for him and a few friends from the church to meet there and read the Bible and talk about the Bible and life together and eat tacos. And the manager agreed. The pastor asked when would be a good time. And the manager said, well, Sunday evening between 4:30 and 6:30, practically nobody comes. So why don't you come then? And the pastor agreed and thanked him. And he said, we will be here on Sunday night and we will buy chips and drinks for anybody, everybody who comes in to Joe's Tacos from 4:30 to 6:30. The manager was delighted. So the pastor stood at the door every Sunday evening, and he welcomed people to Joe's Tacos. And he said, tonight, the drinks and the chips are on us. We're part of a group from the church. We're going to be meeting over there and studying the Bible and talking about it. And you're very welcome to join us. But you're under no obligation. You don't have to. Just enjoy the chips and drinks, and welcome to this place. We're glad you're here. Now, this story does not have sort of the happy, typical ending that traditional church folks would love to hear, and that would be, of course, that all these people started to come to Joe's Tacos, and they worshipped at that little table. They got so crowded that they finally went to the church on Sunday morning, and the pews were packed. More people did come to Joe's Tacos on Sunday from 4:30 to 6:30. And sometimes people, and some of them joined the group, a few did, and sometimes people who didn't join the group came over to the table when they saw that communion was being served. And everybody who comes to that place knows that there is a generous group of Christians who meets there and cares about other people. Maybe that is the church as much as this is the church. Maybe the world doesn't need any more salespersons for the gospel as much as it needs free samples. People like us who join those 70 or 72 unarmed, vulnerable, non-experts who go wherever the door is opened to practice peace and to fight and speak up for justice and to do works of kindness and mercy, to say with the lives that we live, wherever they take us, God is love. God is here.